Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we conclude our wonderful time in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life discourse. And we just pray that we too could be like Peter and say, where are we going to go? We're convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Help us to persevere in our faith and to be a sign of hope for others and to continually be growing in the grace of discernment in this world of so much confusion, that we may always know what is good and pleasing to you and help other people to experience your grace, life in the Spirit, life in abundance. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the message tonight is remaining positive and faithful. You know, we're very much aware as we turn the news on and of all the conflicts in the world, Afghanistan, Haiti, now there's a hurricane heading towards the East Coast, and there's just so many things going on, and we can just be so drawn into that that we forget that we have great potential for good, that God has given us a wonderful way of being members of his family and experiencing empowerment, especially through the Eucharist. In the last few weeks, I've kind of been talking a little bit about that. But it's hard sometimes, because sometimes we're just so weighed down by the things that go on in life and all the disappointing things that happen. And so I have three things to help us kind of stay on the positive and proactive path. And the first is to remind us that we affect each other. You know, we affect each other, and we should strive to be positive and faithful and to help those who are struggling in their faith. Over the last week, I sat down with a couple of people who were struggling with their parish priests. And I know that's an issue. You know, the transitions took place July 1st, so we move around. And, you know, some people who had somebody in their parish they liked for a long time instantly don't like the person who came to replace them. And so, and I'm sure that's, I'm 100% sure that's happened with me too, you know. And I've even heard about it myself over the last 24 years. And so I kind of just listened to them and tried to pray with them and then just gently tried to remind them that, you know, why don't you put yourself on our shoes too, that it's not easy for us as well to be moved around and people have so many expectations. And the worst thing of all is when somebody kind of gets addicted to your personality or likes you, but they fail to establish a relationship with Jesus and really cling to him. That would be the worst legacy I would ever want to leave. It's like, you know, you can laugh at my jokes or not laugh at them, but just cling to Jesus and just stay close to him, please, you know. And I remember Archbishop Burnett used to always say, gentlemen, you're always welcome to come downtown and take a look in your file. And, you know, I'm curious, and sometimes it gets me into trouble, but I have no desire to go downtown and look at my file. I can only imagine some of the letters. I know some of the letters that are in there because they sent them to me too and the Archdiocese. And I just think for me it would be a horrible near occasion of sin. It's like, you know, I think I'll just let that one go. Because I think it would make me negative and just cause a lot of problems and everything. And so, you know, we want to remain positive and faithful, and we affect each other. So let me just throw that on the other side too, is that you affect me. You affect me tremendously. I don't have a family, and I discerned that and chose that as a way of life. I don't have a wife. I have a cat. He's a lot of fun. But I'm very much dedicated to this ministry and to my vocation. And when people don't follow through on their promises, like I'm going to get my kid baptized and I promise to raise them and then they never come back, that affects me. It really is sad for me. I remember going to Tofino. We used to go there every year. I miss it so much. It's one of my favorite places to go vacation and fish. And we could go in there several years ago because the fishing went south, according to my dad. I'd still like to go. I don't care if you catch fish or not, but he's a little more intense about that, those kind of things. But there's a little Catholic church here called St. Francis of Assisi. It's really tiny. But when we would go there on Sundays, he would always, every year, the same thing. You know, I can't believe how few people there are in church. I don't know how you do it, Jim, you know, staying a priest when there's just so little participation. I said, Dad, well, maybe they're on vacation like we are, you know. But I just said, you know, we're living in the Northwest. It's very unchurched. It's just the reality for us. We're closing parishes in our diocese right now. People are just kind of falling away. We're not exactly known for our evangelization skills as Catholics, so it's kind of the drawn conclusion that if you don't invite people to come and share your faith, then it's going to die out. It's going to die if there's no life going into it and the vines attached and all that. But he always would say that every year. I was like, I'm just waiting for, okay, as soon as we got in the car, he would say it. I can't believe how few people are in church. But that affects us. So, you know, we have to persevere and pray, but also realize that you can't let those things get you down so that you start getting resentful or negative, you know. And I think we all struggle with that. We look at the news. We even look in our church, and we see things happening we don't agree with. And how do we stay positive and focused? Well, remembering that, you know, we're supposed to help each other. And so just listening to people and trying to pray with them, but always putting the focus back on Jesus. I'll come and go. I'll die someday. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So go to him. Don't come to go to him, right? And if I can help you go to him, I'm going to do it. Confession, prayer, whatever, Eucharist, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, is help people cling to him. But we really need to pray for the ability to do that right now, especially with the Delta variant, and we thought we were coming out of this, and now more restrictions are coming. And it's like, oh, good grief, you know, what next? My poor nephew, he kind of didn't pay attention, and he went back to Canada. He's going to Simon Fraser University up there. And my brother said, you were supposed to get a COVID test before you went through the border. And, well, he didn't, so he shows up in Blaine and gets to the border, and I said, where's your negative COVID test? Huh? So last night I get a phone call at 6 o'clock. Can Cole come stay with you overnight because he doesn't have a COVID test? So I was on my way to Harborview, and I got the phone call to visit somebody, and that didn't work out, actually. So I came back and was scrambling to clean up the kitchen because I always fall behind on that kind of stuff. But I had a wonderful conversation with him until about 2 in the morning. And I was actually hoping to see him, but I couldn't get home because things are busy now and school starting up at Kennedy. So it actually turned out to be a tremendous blessing. I haven't seen him for a year and a half because of COVID, and he couldn't come back over the border. So it was great to catch up with him. He's maturing a lot. He's growing in his desire to figure out what God is asking of him and everything. So it actually turned out to be a real blessing, even though, you know, things are a little messy inside the house. But it's like, we already know that about you, Uncle Jim. So trying to encourage him too, and just talking with him and sharing a few nice stories about his father, you know, my older brother, and some things that he didn't know about him when we were growing up. And they were nice things. I don't have to go to confession over that. The second thing is we need to pray for patience in learning spiritual lessons. And the sad, tragic thing in the 6th chapter of John's gospel is that they were not good students. They just had a knee-jerk reaction to what he was saying. And they just left over that. And these are people who followed him from the beginning, as he says at the end. And he didn't mince his words and say, oh, you misunderstood me. He repeated himself 3 times in this chapter and said, this is a very serious teaching on the Eucharist. And if you don't believe it, then okay, go. And then he turns to Peter, are you going to go too? And Peter has a wonderful profession of faith. But we have to be patient. I remember a relative of mine wanted to become Catholic. And so he contacted me out of the blue, and we hadn't had any contact for a long time. This is actually my uncle. And he married a Catholic who wasn't practicing her faith, but all of a sudden they're getting older, thinking about what happens. And so he had a question about confession. He said, why do I have to go to a priest to do confession? So I gave my little best theological explanation. And then I said, you know, I quoted a story I know about Carl Jung, who was a psychotherapist or psychologist. And he was working with somebody once, and they were making great advances in their therapy. And he goes, what are you doing? Because you're just moving along so far. And she goes, I've been going to confession. Oh, well, keep going. So I said to him, you know, it's something you have to experience. So, you know, read up on it, prepare, pray in the Holy Spirit. But it's something you need to experience. And I can see, well, why would I go to a sinner? I know my nephew, he's a sinner. You know, yes, I am. I go to confession too, everybody. But once you go and experience the healing and the grace, and you understand, oh, now I understand how this works. And that's kind of the situation with the Eucharist, is that you're not going to be able to wrap your mind around this truth. It's beyond that. But once you begin to encounter Jesus and experience him, then you, oh, now I get it. We got a Thursday night, we had a little reunion for our Fusione Pentecost event, and had about 2 hours worth of adoration and testimonies. Beautiful evening. I bought way too many cookies for the reception, but we can freeze those. But it's something that you grow into and encounter, and you're never a know-it-all. There's always new insights that God wants to share with you. So when I come in for communion, maybe something new in the Mass will strike me this evening. Oh, I never realized that, you know. Even the antiphons. Yesterday was St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and it said in the antiphon something to the effect of, and he provided clear streams of teaching. Clear streams of teaching. I thought, boy, do we need that in our church today. Clear streams of teaching when there's so much confusion and people not teaching what they're supposed to. And I just fascinated me all day long. I just clear streams of teaching. And I hadn't noticed that in the last 24 years, but today I recognize it. So you just always, these little insights can jump out, but we have to be patient in learning our spiritual lessons and not be know-it-alls like the Pharisees. They were know-it-alls. They weren't open to learning. The last thing is remembering God's faithfulness amidst hardships and the failure of human love. And the two men in the gospel, or the gospel in the first reading today, were wonderful, holy men, because especially Joshua, he had his hardships leading the people into the promised land. And this was his last gesture before he dies. And he wasn't like, why don't you build a monument to me and celebrate what a great leader I've been for you, like some of the people today do. It's very self-serving. He said, the greatest honor you could pay to me is rededicate yourself to the covenant God made with you and decide this day who you will serve. And then that beautiful passage, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have a friend who has it over her door in her house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then they built a monument there, and then he died. What a great man. That was the most important thing on his heart as he took his last breath, was helping the people remain faithful to the covenant that God had established with them. And then Peter today as well, you know, where would we go? We've convinced you are the Holy One of God, and, you know, and we're going to stick with you. We're not going to abandon you, leave. But he must have been incredibly disappointed at the number of people left. Like, what? They're leaving and you let them go? If half of you got up and left right now, I'd get a little upset. It's like, where are you going? We haven't had Eucharist yet. And so that affects us. The people that are leaving the faith has a very negative impact on our faith and can cause doubt in our lives. But in just the opposite way, being a man or woman of faith and professing your faith in the midst of hardship and difficulties can help other people be more solid in their faith as well. And then we sing one song on Thursday night. It's called Raise a Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm, I raise a hallelujah. I love that. Especially when things get rough and tough, I'm going to thank you, Lord, because I know you're with me and you're going to get me through this dark valley that I'm going through right now. So the way we live our faith and how we talk about it can certainly impact other people in the most positive way. Amen? Amen. So let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for calling us to be part of your family. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will allow us to be an example of your love and mercy and your desire to help people who are hurting and lonely, confused, filled with shame and doubt, wondering why they're here on earth. You have called us, you have appointed and anointed us to be your servants, so help us to be positive, proactive, and faithful. And even when things are going really wrong and we just can't understand why you're allowing in your permissive will things to happen, to trust in you. And in response to this, we just look to our Blessed Mother Mary as the example par excellence of perseverance. As she stood at the foot of the cross, she didn't give up. She stayed there and shared in your suffering and pressed on. And last weekend, we celebrated the Assumption, that reward is waiting for all of us to be with you forever. So grant us the grace of perseverance and the ability to encourage one another while it's still today. We ask this through Christ our Lord.